I'd like to call the meeting in order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Mr. Standish, roll call. Here.
Vice Mayor Waters.
Here. Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here. Everybody, please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone.
Sorry.
Mr. Standish, could you just check to make sure that the screws, the nuts and bolts in the first three rows are tightened, because nobody's sitting in there, so.
It's the plague or something.
Yeah. All right, upcoming meeting announcements. Mr. Standish.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. We have a Stormwater Utility Commission meeting on April 19th at 4 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. And then we have a Board of Adjustment meeting April 24th at 3 p.m. in the Council Chambers. And then a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting May 1st at 6 p.m. here in the Council Chambers as well. And then our next regular Town Council session is May 2nd at 6 p.m. here in the Council Chambers as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Council reports, any council reports?
Mr. Mayor,
Councilmember Snyder.
Thank you. We have a spotlight on youth report this evening, and if you'll give me just a moment. Sure, I need a microphone?
Start over, Mary.
Jeremy is a junior at Basis Oro Valley, and as many of you know, that's one of the top-rated schools in our nation. But Jeremy goes far and above being just an exceptional student, and we're here to celebrate his dedication to not only academics, but to athletics and extracurricular clubs like Spanish Society. This young man's already taken 11 advanced placement classes, all while being a three-sport athlete, playing flag football, basketball, and men's volleyball. School administrators have commented on his respectful and responsible character and his level of investment in making the community a better place each and every day. That's a real skill. A few comments that his teachers have made about him. Jeremy's Spanish teacher, Senor Williams, said, "Jeremy completely throws himself into everything related to her class, even participating in a cultural trip to Ecuador last summer. His commitment is such that even after sustaining an injury and being on crutches," you'll have to tell us about that, "he continued to be front and center at every volunteer project. He's respectful, kind, and considerate of others, and he makes friends everywhere he goes and is always willing to lend a hand." A few more comments for Basis teachers and administrators about Jeremy. Mr. Lewis, school director and basketball coach, says, "Jeremy's character and leadership are outstanding. Throughout the boys' basketball season, he balanced competitiveness and sportsmanship and was a cornerstone of the team. A true leader." Cynthia Blackney, Jeremy's post-AP English teacher, noted that while Jeremy is confident, he's humble and always a calming influence for those around him. And Mr. Robert Lee, Jeremy's AP Physics class teacher, says, "Jeremy is one of the hardest working students at Basis Oro Valley." That's an incredible statement, because they are very hardworking. "He often attends students who need extra help. He is personable and always a positive influence on his peers." It's clear that you're an exceptional student, but you're also clearly an exceptional resident of our community. And we're so proud to recognize you as this month's Spotlight on Youth. And would you like to say a word or two? You don't have to.
Thank you very much. And
no pressure. Okay, Jeremy, this is for you. The Town of Oro Valley Spotlight on Youth. Congratulations, Jeremy Nicholson, on your outstanding dedication to academics, leadership, and athletics. We're proud of you. The Mayor and Council of Oro Valley, dated April 18th, 2018.
Council reports. We'll move on to department reports. Ms. Jacobs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm pleased to introduce Interim Director Bayer Vella to talk to us about Chalk the Block.
Mr. Vella.
Mayor, Council, the Planning Division is at it again. We will be hosting a Main Street's Chalk the Block event on Saturday, April 28th in the Fry's parking area at Lambert and La Cunada. From 4 to 7 p.m., we'll come together for a friendly chalk art competition, games, giveaways, we'll have food trucks, and a lot of information about the Main Streets project. Attendees will be able to chat with project staff and share their preferences, really specifically for public art and spaces within the Main Streets planning area. Having this event, I think many of you remember the Walk the Block event, where we had some 400 folks participate. It really provides an out-of-the-box method to reach out to folks and really engage in the project. We have distributed and involved local schools and challenged them to provide teams and compete with different chalk art competitions. So we hope that folks can pick up information at the back of the chambers for anyone who's interested, and we also have information on the town website, and we hope to see you all there. Thank you, Mayor.
May I ask a question, Mr. Vella?
Councilman Hornet, then Councilman Snyder.
It says all ages, weights, and abilities, so there's no limit?
There is no limit.
Councilman Snyder.
Yes, excuse me, I just want to return to our Spotlight on Youth family. One thing I failed to mention to you, I understand if you have homework, Jeremy, and so you and your family will not be frowned upon if you decide to depart our meeting at this time, but you're welcome to stay. Thank you.
All right, so I've reviewed the order of business, and it will stand as posted. Call the audience. I do not have any speakers, so we'll move right to presentations. Mike, proclamation number one.
Proclamation, Week of the Young Child.
Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, proclamation, Week of the Young Child, April 16th through the 22nd, 2018. Whereas the Town of Oro Valley and other local organizations, in conjunction with the National Association for Education of Young Children, are celebrating the Week of the Young Child, April 16th through the 22nd. Whereas these organizations are working to improve early learning opportunities, including early literacy programs that can provide a foundation of learning for children in Oro Valley. And whereas teachers and others who make a difference in the lives of young children in Oro Valley deserve thanks and recognition. And whereas public policies that support early learning for all young children are crucial to young children's futures. And now, therefore, I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of the Town of Oro Valley, Arizona, do hereby proclaim April 16th through the 22nd, 2018, as the Week of the Young Child in the Town of Oro Valley, and encourage all citizens to work to make a good investment in early childhood education in Oro Valley, dated this 18th day of April, 2018.
And with that, Mr. Mayor, we have Heather Friedman, Regional Director of Pima North Regional, in attendance, that will be accepting the proclamation.
I just want to say thank you so much to Mayor Hiremath and the Town Council for continuing to recognize the importance of early childhood education and for proclaiming this the Week of the Young Child. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for all you do.
Mike, proclamation number two.
Proclamation, National Day of Prayer.
Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, proclamation, National Day of Prayer. Whereas the 67th observance of the National Day of Prayer will be held on Thursday, May 3rd, 2018, our theme will be Pray for America, Unity, based upon Ephesians 4.3, which challenges us to mobilize unified public prayer for America, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And whereas a National Day of Prayer has been part of our national heritage since it was declared by the First Continental Congress in 1775 and the United States Congress in 1952, approved as a joint resolution, that the President shall set aside and proclaim a suitable day each year other than a Sunday as a National Day of Prayer, on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches, in groups, and as individuals. And whereas the United States Congress in 1988, by public law 100-307, as amended, establishes an act to provide for setting aside the first Thursday in May as the date on which the National Day of Prayer is celebrated. And whereas leaders and citizens of our communities, cities, states, and nation are afforded the privilege of prayer with the joy of seeking divine guidance, strength, protection, and comfort from Almighty God. And whereas recognizing the love of God, we citizens of the Town of Oro Valley treasure the freedom to gather in prayer, exercising reliance on God's power in the face of present challenges and threats, asking for His blessing on every individual of our country. Now, therefore, I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim Thursday, May 3rd, 2018, to be National Day of Prayer, dated this 18th day of April, 2018.
And in attendance, we have Leanne Bankhead to accept the proclamation.
We can clap.
We at the National Day of Prayer Task Force would just like to thank you for this, sir. Thank you very much.
Mike, proclamation number 3.
Proclamation, Building Safety Month.
Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, proclamation, Building Safety Month, May 2018. Whereas our town is committed to recognizing that our growth and strength depends on the safety and quality of the homes, buildings, and infrastructure that our citizens and visitors to our community enjoy, both in everyday life and in times of natural disaster. Whereas confidence by individuals, families, and businesses is placed in the building safety and fire prevention officials and other professionals in the construction industry who work diligently to ensure the safe construction of buildings in our community where we live, learn, work, worship, and play. And whereas Building Safety Month is intended to make the public aware of the critical role of our community's code officials, our silent guardians of public safety, who day in and day out deliver extraordinary service to the community. And whereas building codes save lives, the theme for Building Safety Month 2018 encourages all Americans to be aware of what it takes to create safe and sustainable structures. And whereas in observance of Building Safety Month, all communities are asked to recognize the need for building codes that will protect citizens from disasters such as fires, weather-related events, and structural collapse. Now, therefore, I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2018 as Building Safety Month. Accordingly, I encourage our citizens to join with their communities in promoting building safety within our community, dated this 18th day of April, 2018.
And, Mr. Mayor, we have our building official, Oro Valley Building Official Chuck King, in attendance to accept the proclamation.
Mr. Mayor, may I add something?
No.
What? No. No. Only he tells me no.
Bill already left.
Yes.
All right. Well, I will do it. As many of you may know, I am also a builder, and a lot of people take for granted what the Building and Safety Division does. Just the general code book for residential building is about this thick. And then there's a separate one for electrical, for plumbing, for mechanical. And it's the building and safety department's job to make sure that every one of those, 100,000 regulations are actually implemented in every residential and commercial structure built in the town of Oro Valley. And our building safety department, which is part of our community development, has a reputation throughout the area for basically inspections that are more thorough than any other jurisdiction. And they're not there to penalize the builders or construction industry. They're there to help educate and help them make sure that when a homeowner buys a resident in Oro Valley, they can rest assured that it has been fully inspected independently by the town and that they have said that, yes, everything meets safety codes. And they do an amazing job on it. They do it with our commercial projects and, for example, the Lehman Academy to get them ready for the fall semester last year. They were out there on weekends doing inspections, making sure everything was good to go. So it's just an area that isn't seen much by the public, but does indeed a great service to all the residents and people who work in commercial structures.
Thank you. Councilmember Hornet?
Mr. Mayor, in typical builder format, Councilmember Solomon has exaggerated. There's only 50,000 regulations, not 100.
All right, with that, I'll have Council's pleasure on consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull item B.
B is pulled. Any other items?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull item D.
Councilmember Pena, item D.
I move, Mr. Mayor, to approve items A and C.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mike, item B.
Request for approval of a final plat for phase one of the Villages at Silverhawk Residential Subdivision located near the southeast corner of Tangerine Road in North First Avenue.
Councilmember Hornet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As some of you, although that aren't here tonight, I can see that, may know, I have occasionally chided staff very gently and in good fun about just adding one sentence here that would make our lives easier when we read some of these. And I just want to thank them on the record for putting in the sentence that says, final plat review is primarily an administrative function because the design was previously approved, which means now I only have to look at the pictures. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With that, I move to accept item B.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mike, letter D.
Consideration and acceptance of the Oro Valley Water Utility Commission annual report dated April 2018.
Councilmember Papini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Oro Valley Water Utility has just completed their Water Utility Commission annual report. And I want to just say thank you to the Water Utility staff along with other town staff. They did a tremendous job in putting this document together. And so because it is the annual report, I think it warrants maybe the opportunity for our water director, Mr. Abraham, to highlight some of the items in this report. We don't have to go through the whole report, obviously, for water, but let's do some highlights.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Water Utility and the Water Utility Commission on this annual report. For those that may not know, town code requires that the Water Utility Commission render to the town council an annual report. And this report documents the activities of the water utility as well as the Water Utility Commission. For 2017, I'm just going to pick out some of the notables here. 44% of the town's water demands were met with renewable resources. Of that, 21% was Central Arizona Project water. And the remaining 23% was the utilization of reclaimed water for irrigation purposes. Another item, the utility purchased all of its CAP allotment, that's 10,305 acre feet, for delivery to recharge facilities. CAP water that was not used for delivery or annual recovery was stored to be used for future use. We had two important IGAs that came up. The first IGA was a renewal, and that was a renewal of our intergovernmental agreement with the city of Tucson. And this particular IGA enables the utility to wheel a portion of its CAP allotment to the town for delivery to our customers. This IGA was renewed. In addition to the renewal, we had made some modifications. One is we've added a fourth CAP wheeling location that we're going to begin construction next fiscal year, and it'll be completed by the end of this calendar year. That wheeling location will bring in an additional 480 acre feet of CAP water to our community. In addition to that, facilitate having that wheeling location, we found that the Tucson Water System had excess capacity of another 600 acre feet. So we upped our annual wheeling capacity from 2,000 acre feet to 2,600 acre feet. That was the first IGA, and that was a renewal. The second IGA that was very important is the town of Oro Valley has entered into an intergovernmental agreement with the Metropolitan Water Improvement District, as well as the Marana Water Department, for what we're calling it's our Northwest Recharge and Recovery Delivery System. This project will increase our town's capability to bring in an additional 4,000 acre feet of renewable resources to our community. And that should happen by 2025, we expect to have that online. So two real important IGAs. Probably one last notable on the water resources front is the town of Oro Valley received $924,000 from the Central Arizona Water Conservation District, or you can think of that as CAP. The agreement by which it allows us to take that money is we had to promise that we would use that money towards bringing in additional CAP water to our community, and the Northwest Recharge and Recovery Delivery System project fits that to a T, or another project similar to that that we think would be fit to bring in renewable resources to our community. With respect to water conservation, our water conservation's kids program is now provided at all elementary schools in the town of Oral Valley, including Innovation Academy and the Lehman Academy. In 2017, we reached out and had contact with 805 students. That was an increase of about 200 students from 2016. Also, water utility staff was invited to attend Wilson Elementary School's first STEM fair to educate students on water conservation, water delivery systems, as well as water quality testing. Financial highlights, the water utility continues to be fiscally sound. Fitch Ratings affirmed the utility's AA minus rating on the Series 2012 senior lien bonds. In summary, looking over the report, it's interesting, when it's approved by Mayor and Council, this report's available for public consumption on our website. The water utility, we have nearly 20,000 metered connections serving a population of over 44,000. And we utilized less water resource last year than what was required in 2004. The work we're doing, we're going to be bringing in more renewable resources, reducing the reliance on groundwater. Very exciting things. This annual water report shows we've entered into agreements, we've budgeted funding and infrastructure for existing and future customers to deliver renewable water resources already entitled to the town and to further reduce our reliance on groundwater. So pretty good stuff, and hope it was informational for everybody. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just a comment.
Councilor Hornet.
Peter, I also noted in a report that we have stored for future use somewhere around 20,000 acre feet, which is certainly notable.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor, and Councilmember Hornet. 20,000 acre feet, I mean, if you know, that's our rainy day water. It's stored. If we ever have curtailments of CAP water, we would offset those curtailments with the water that we've had stored. And
and the looking forward, that we've got a new IGA with Veranda and the Metropolitan Group. That is the water department looking forward to the future of Oral Valley, and I certainly applaud that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Councilor Pena?
Yep. I move to accept the Water Utility Commission annual report dated April 2018.
Before you do that,
go ahead and give me a second. Then.
Second.
Further discussion, Councilmember Snyder? Yeah.
For the benefit of the public, can you describe how much water is in an acre foot?
An acre foot is a little over 325,000 gallons. So envision an acre of land with 1 foot of water on it. That's an acre foot.
Perfect.
An old agriculture term.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Any further discussion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mike, regular agenda item number one.
Presentation of town manager's recommended budget for fiscal year 2018-19.
And before Ms. Jacobs or Ms. Lemos takes the microphone, I want to remind council that this is just a presentation by the town manager's budget. It's a very high overview. We will have the opportunity to discuss at the budget study session on May 2nd. So this is informational item only. Please hold all your questions until that budget study session. Ms. Jacobs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. It's my honor and privilege to present to you the fiscal 18-19 recommended budget for next year. Just briefly, I'm going to review our budget timeline, give you an overview of the budget, refresh our memory as to the strategic plan focus areas, and then I will turn it over to our CFO, Stacey Lemos, who will hit the budget highlights. As you can see from this pictograph here, we are in the yellow highlighted box. We've accomplished all of the things from January through March in the preparation of the budget. And starting in May, we will go through the budget study sessions on the 2nd and the 9th. On the 16th, the council will consider the tentative budget adoption, and then it will be presented to you for final adoption on June 6th. And at those two final meetings, they are officially public hearings. Just very quickly, our total budget is just a little over $143 million, which is an 11.4% increase from the current fiscal year adopted budget. But I do want to point out what that increase is primarily due to. There's a $4.1 million increase in our grant-funded roadway projects. We're also anticipating the potential of a $2 million grant for the stormwater utility for a capital project. We are also increasing capacity for bond-funded capital projects that I'll mention in just a moment. And we're also the largest, or about half of the chunk of that $14 million almost, is really an increase in our year-end balances for due to revenue growth. So that is, for example, our impact fee fund balance, our reserve fund balance, and the like. The general fund has a $2.9 million planned use of excess reserves for our capital projects, and we are leaving the ending fund balance with a 29% reserve level, which is, of course, in excess of the council's policy for a 25% fund balance reserve. Just briefly again, and as a reminder, these are the 10 strategic focus areas that really serve as the foundation for our budget development process. These are applied to all of our departments, and when they make their requests, we evaluate them against how they help us meet those focus areas in the strategic plan that was approved by council last year. A few highlights again regarding our growth projections. We are projecting 306 single-family permits forecasted for next year. That is consistent with what we budgeted this year, which was 305. We're actually projecting about 310 permits that we will issue by the end of this fiscal year. And last year it was 325. So we're seeing a very steady maintenance, a steady trend of single-family permits. We're also seeing some continued commercial development activity, revenue growth in our licenses and permits, and our overall local sales tax revenue growth is projected at 6%, with higher increases in some of our categories. For example, the bed tax category, the construction sales tax category, a little bit higher, the retail sales tax a little bit lower, but as a net increase of 6% overall for our sales tax categories. And our state shared revenues, which are about a third of the town's general fund budget, are projected to be roughly flat, only a $75,000 increase next year. That's largely attributable to some tax breaks that the governor put into place a couple of years ago. Our income tax portion of the state shared revenues are based on a two-year lag, but thankfully we're seeing increases in the sales tax percent, or sales retail sales tax, that's making up that difference, and also a slight reduction in our vehicle revenue taxes that we're also receive. We are continuing the council's longstanding policy of applying one-time revenues for one-time expenditures. We know that that makes for good fiscal management, and so you can expect that that is included in this budget as well. There's a transfer of $3.4 million in one-time revenues from the general fund to the capital fund. The town's always had the capital fund. We're expanding its use, and we'll be presenting in the in an upcoming meeting a change to your financial policy to reflect the enhanced use of this capital fund to fund capital rather than utilizing the reserve fund and taking those resources from the contingency fund. So $1.9 million of that transfer will be for projects that we are including in the budget for next fiscal year. And then $1.5 million will be included in the CIP, in the capital fund, in order to seed it so that it can be prepared for a long-term plan to use the capital fund as our primary method of funding capital projects in the future. I just want to note in the area of economic development that we have a slight increase in our Funding allocation for Visit Tucson from $275,000 to $300,000, and also a slight increase in our funding for the Chamber of Commerce, and that's due to the fact that the Chamber has agreed to take over the Shop Local program. So instead of the town doing the program, that will be run and operated by our local chamber. In the area of staffing, compensation, and benefits, we have budgeted the merit and step increases for next fiscal year at the current level that it is now. So that means that all of our sworn officer step increases are fully funded and the merit increases are applied next year at the same level as it is in the current fiscal year. We're fortunate that we're only projecting a 5% increase in our health insurance premiums. So that is applied to both the town portion and also to the employee portion. I'm including in the budget, I'm recommending 4 new full-time positions: a procurement specialist, an IT systems analyst, a public information officer, and a parks and recreation deputy director. In addition, we are recommending the conversion of 2 part-time positions in the town clerk's office to 1 full-time position, and replacing 1 part-time position in the human resources office to 1 full-time position. And there are just a few position reclassifications that are included in the budget as well that don't amount to much in the way of funding overall. There are a few changes that you will probably note, and the public may note as they take a look at the budget. One major organizational change that I have implemented in the current fiscal year, which is the division of a very large department called Community and Public Works into 2 departments, the Public Works Department and Community and Economic Development Department. I've also, and that of course changes how the dollars are separated, but in general, the planning, permitting, and building safety functions are in Community and Economic Development, plus the Economic Development Division will transfer over there. And then Public Works has the traditional Public Works functions, stormwater utility, engineering, the operations section, and transit. The fleet operations dollars are being consolidated in the Public Works Department budget. And because of the reorganization and shuffling around of those dollars, the bed tax will be accounted for in a different manner in the budget, and there is no need to actually have an official fund that requires its own accounting methodology. But rest assured that the council will continue to get all of the necessary information regarding how our bed tax funds are both collected and also expended. We're also consolidating telecommunications and technology dollars into the Information Technology Department, again, for better oversight, management, and more efficiency. And then finally, the budget does include the incorporation of a recommended rate increase in the water utility. That rate increase has been is making its way through the process, was approved by the Water Utility Commission, and will be included in a public hearing in your upcoming budget hearing as well. And of course, will be reviewed at the work session on May the 2nd. Regarding major capital investments, I wanted to point out a few that I think are of note to our community. La Cholla Boulevard widening is included in this year's budget, or next year's fiscal budget, for $12.7 million. The majority of that funding is coming from PAG and RTA, and we're very fortunate that that project was able to be pushed up in the schedule. So you'll see work progressing on La Cholla in the very near future. It's about a 2-year project. There's a $4.8 million expected in expenditures in the water utility department. Our police evidence facility is out to bid right now, and so we have included in the budget $3.4 million for that project. There's $3 million of what is a recommended $6 million total investment in our community center and golf course that will be a bond-funded improvement. While we can't get all of the work done in a single fiscal year. We anticipate no more than $3 million of that $6 million will be spent next fiscal year. That is still in somewhat of a placeholder, and at your meeting of May 9th, your study session on May 9th, we will be presenting to you some of the options for the community center so we can get better direction from the council and refine that number for the final budget. It also includes the replacement of the irrigation structure, or the irrigation for the two golf courses, the Kenyatta and Conquistador courses. There's $2.3 million budgeted for stormwater utility. $2 million of that is a grant that we're not certain we will get, but we obviously need to include it in the budget. $1 million is included in impact fee expenditures for La Kenyatta and Moore Road intersection improvement, and that is continuing to go through the internal evaluation and engineering process, and the final improvement will be made or public in forthcoming. We have $800,000 budgeted in pavement preservation. It's less than what we have needed to budget in previous years, and that's because we're fortunate that the county has contributed funding for our pavement preservation for next fiscal year. Regarding recreation, we've budgeted $495,000, and the bulk of that will be applied to the renovation of the ball fields at James D. Cray Park, JDK Park. We also have some money in there for steam pump ranch landscaping and tennis court improvements. And then just over $250,000 to replace some roofs here on our main campus. Four of our buildings need roof repairs, including this one, the police station, the court building, and the library. And so we know that that needs to be done, and maintenance of our facilities is very important. With that, Mayor, I'd like to turn this over to our Chief Financial Officer, Stacey Lemos.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Ms. Jacobs. This slide basically depicts the year-over-year budget comparison. The recommended budget is up in all categories over the current year budget in personnel, operations and maintenance, capital and debt service. In personnel, this recommended budget is up 4.1%, primarily due to staff personnel merit increases and the slight medical insurance increases that Ms. Jacobs mentioned earlier. The O&M budgets are up slightly, a little over 2%, and that's really due to the departments being very judicious in what they asked for their O&M this year, and also operating their existing budgets very efficiently, trying to save money, looking for efficiencies in their operations. The capital budget is up almost 23%, and that is due primarily to the capital projects that we have budgeted that were covered in the previous slide, the large one being the LaToya widening project. And so the majority of this increase is due to that outside funding that we're receiving for that particular project, as well as some of the bond fund funds that we will be securing for the projects that we discussed earlier. And then just minor debt service up about 10% due to those projected bond funded projects that we have in our CIP. This is our budget by category. As you can see, with the green piece of this pie, our reserves comprise a little over $41 million, about 29% of our budget. That's our savings account and all of our funds for the town. If you remove that piece of the pie, the remaining pieces of personnel, O&M, capital, and debt service amount to just over $100 million, and that's really the core operating budget for the town. Personnel would comprise about one-third of that, with excluding the reserves, and that's standard for an organization such as ours that is service-based. Similarly with capital. Capital, we have nearly $33 million budgeted in our capital budget, and we'll cover that in the next slide, but about half of that is due to road and street improvements that are budgeted for the next year. This is our budget by fund. Again, the large one that you see there is the general fund at $49 million, about a third of our overall budget. And again, that general fund pie piece includes the consolidation of the bed tax funds in that this year. Another significant fund is the Water Utility Fund. You see up at the top about 20% of our budget. And then we have all of our various capital funds, the Capital Fund for Projects, as well as our PAG RTA funds, all on kind of the left-hand side of that chart. That really comprises the funding associated with our major capital projects coming on board next year. And again, capital projects for next year total just over $31 million for the CIP. Again, you see half of that are streets and roads at $15.8 million. The large one is about $13 million out of that total for the La Cholla widening piece of that. And then you have, of course, the public safety evidence facility and facilities there. And then, of course, we've got our water system improvements that we have planned, another large area of CIP for us. And then finally, just wrapping up, as we develop this very important policy document for the town, we continue to be committed to financial reporting excellence and transparency, and we will continue to submit our budget document to the Government Finance Officers Association again this year for their awards program for continued recognition in this area. Turn it back over to Ms. Jacobs.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I just want to close with a deep, heartfelt thanks to my entire team for helping me through this first year of the process. It was indeed a learning curve for me, and everyone has just been incredibly remarkable. And a very special thanks to my core budget team, consisting of Assistant Town Manager Chris Cornelison, CFO Stacy Lemos, Chuck Boyer, our IT director, and Wendy Gomez, who is a senior budget analyst, and a special shout out to Wendy, who really did all of the heavy lifting. She is quite the asset to the town organization, and she made this job so much easier for me. So with that, Mr. Mayor, again, we will be prepared to answer specific questions that you may have at your upcoming study sessions on May the 2nd. And May the 9th. And if you have any questions prior to that, we are here for you and would be delighted to meet with you individually to go over anything in specific. So thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council.
Thank you. Mr. Stanish, item number two.
Public hearing, local alternative expenditure limitation election, home rule option.
Who's got the...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the council, tonight, as you know, is the second required public hearing we have on the town's request to seek voter authorization for the extension of our alternative expenditure limitation, or otherwise known as the home rule option. We seek voter approval of this every 4 years, and it is coming up again this year, and it's proposed to be placed on the August 28th primary election ballot. This expenditure limitation originated with voter approval in a constitutional amendment back in 1980, limiting local government spending. And the limit applies, as it's in the Constitution, to expenditures only of governments, but it does not limit our revenues or our capacity to collect those revenues. It's a formula-based calculation, what the state-imposed limitation is. It starts with what the town's revenues were back in 1979, 1980, which were just over $272,000. And it escalates that number with a population growth factor since 1978 up through present. Back in 1978, our population was just under 1,500 people. And then that calculation is further inflated by an inflation factor that is provided to us by the Arizona Department of Revenue. Another piece of the equation also includes some exclusions that are allowed in the Constitution, where some of our revenues and expenditures are allowed to be excluded from that limitation, such as debt service payments, grants from the federal government, and HERF revenues, and so those are able to be added to the formula calculation. The table here with all of the numbers run through our formula for the town projects our state-imposed limitation at anywhere from $40 million up to about $45 million over the next 4 years, and this is what our budget would have to be restricted to if home rule were not to pass at the ballot. This slide shows that the projections for the revenues that we have over the next 4 years, again, the state imposed limitation does not limit our revenues. Those would still continue to come in as we would project them, anywhere from $120 million up to $133 million over that 4 year time frame. The state imposed limitation is calculated by the formula, is in that middle column. And the final column is the difference. This is the amount that we would have to cut our budgets in order to fall within that state imposed limitation were it not to pass in August. Again, just very briefly, the consequences of being under the state imposed limitation, we would need to cut our budget drastically to match that limitation. While our revenue would continue to flow into the town at those projected levels, thereby increasing the town's contingency reserves. So those reserves would grow and services would have to be severely reduced. And then we would have to wait, the law requires us to wait 2 years before we could place another home rule ballot question on the next regular election. Fortunately, the Constitution allows an alternative to the state-imposed limitation to allow for communities to seek voter approval for an alternative expenditure limitation, recognizing that the formula-based is not a one-size-fits-all solution. So the alternative expenditure limitation, which is what we operate under, allows us to develop our local budget, our budget limits locally, adopt them locally based on our local needs, service levels, and available resources. And we've been operating under home rule for the past 36 years. We've received voter approval on this every 4 years since 1982. With home rule, we would still operate under an expenditure limitation that's set when the council approves the budget every year during the budget adoption process. Being under home rule allows us to have local control, allows us to address our local priorities and our unique needs to our community with our funding sources. Our budget still goes through the public process. Public study sessions are held. We publish the budget publicly. We hold public hearings on both the tentative and the final budget. And being under home rule does not result, as you know, in an increase or a decrease in tax rates. And it does not enable the town to spend any more than its available approved resources. We are here tonight at the second public hearing. Following this agenda item, the council will consider a resolution to place this item on the ballot for August 28th. And then there are the remaining dates that will, key dates leading up to the election date there with a publicity pamphlet, printing and mailing, and the extensive outreach efforts that the town will be doing to educate the public on this ballot measure that will begin probably the first part of June. And the ballot pamphlet, or the ballots will go out, early ballots August 1st, and the election date is August 28th. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions for you.
All right, this is a public hearing, so I'd like to open the public hearing. There are no speakers. I'll close the public hearing. There's no action required on this particular item during the regular session, so I'd like to recess the regular session, and I'd like to convene a special session.
Hit that thing one more time.
Mike, item number one.
Resolution number R18-16, a resolution of the Town of Oro Valley proposing an extension of the alternative expenditure limitation home rule option.
Is there any further questions for Ms. Lemos? There being none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Vice Mayor Waters.
I move to approve resolution number R18-16, proposing an extension of the local alternative expenditure limitation.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. I'd like to adjourn the special session. I'd like to reconvene the regular session. Hello. Any future agenda items? There being none, there are no call of the audience speakers. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Meeting adjourned.